Should we start?
Let's start.
Season 4, episode 25.
One singular sensation, every little step she takes.
A chorus line. Remember our chorus line?
Yes.
Anyway, the alternative title for this episode is Seven Gets Space Madness.
Yeah, that's it. Sam, I gotta tell you, my notes this week, really good.
Oh.
I took 3 pages of notes on a computer.
Wow. Wow. Do you want to do this episode?
If you want me to, I can.
Yeah, go for it.
Sometimes I forget how much faster I type than write. For the listeners, no, for unknown reasons, I usually handwrite my notes, and I think that's part of why my notes are so bad. Anyway.
You're a whimsical gal.
Right, so we open with Seven in the mess hall. She does not require sustenance, but she does want to ask rapid-fire questions because she's goodness. Trying to make friends.
Should we do some rapid-fire questions?
Where were you born?
Next question.
Where did you go to school?
I don't know.
What's your favorite food?
Oh, pasta?
What kind of pasta?
I don't know.
What's your favorite sport to watch?
Ooh, none of them.
What's your favorite sport to play?
Drag race.
Who was your first childhood crush?
RuPaul.
You have any questions for me?
What's your biggest regret?
Oh, God.
Have you ever been to the moon?
No.
If you could go to the moon, what do you think your first words would be as you stepped out of the lunar rover?
Oh, no.
Would you kiss Neil Armstrong on the mouth?
No.
Would you kiss Lance Armstrong on the mouth?
No.
Would you kiss Stretch Armstrong on the mouth?
Yes.
That's all the questions for now. Thank you.
And that's all for Woman Talking About Star Trek Voyager. See you next week. So Seven is trying to make friends, but as it turns out, it's actually a holo program with the Doctor.
What a boring holo program.
I know. I feel sorry for Seven.
Also, it's like not the Doctor really, throughout this episode, the Doctor's going about trying to socialize Seven in kind of the opposite way.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Because it's like child psychology levels that he should be doing. Like, he should be doing like, oh, you like to play with Lego bricks. Why don't you take your Lego bricks and go play with the other kids and see if they want to play with Lego bricks. But instead, it's like, all these children are trying to play Connect Four and you hate Connect Four. Why don't you go and play Connect Four?
I'm so glad you've said this because this was my objection. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but this was my objection to his issue. He takes issue with what she does in the holo program later on.
Later on, yeah. We'll and I was there, like, she's having fun.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, he's not letting her be herself at all, and it's very annoying.
Anyway.
So we're on the bridge, and they're going into a nebula because they never fucking learn.
God damn it.
I guess they can't avoid this nebula.
Oh, they could.
Could they?
They could if they really wanted to.
Yeah, I feel like they could.
It would just take an extra year. What's an extra year when you have 50-something to go?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a good point, especially given how risky this was. I don't know. I liked this episode a lot, I'll say that, but I do feel like some of the rationale of it was a bit like, oh,
it'll take a month to get through it or an entire year to go round it.
Yeah.
Like, what's 11 months among friends?
Yeah, and think of all the adventures they could have along the way. Think of all the smaller nebulas they could just pop into and almost die in on the way.
Yeah, it's also like, they have astrometrics of such like a large like section of the quadrant. They couldn't have seen this coming and just like,
yeah, how is it not some, yeah,
zipped around it? Why is it a surprise that there's a nebula?
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah.
But they're going into the nebula and then everyone gets a headache and burns.
Boo. Harry's the first to go down with the headache. Then everybody gets it. Oh no. Skip intro.
Are you frightened? I am Sam Hickman.
And I'm being intentionally perverse. I'm Kat Deerfield.
Oh, and this is
Women Talking About Star Trek Voyager. It's Kat and it's Sam. They are two friends. Women Talking About Star Trek Voyager. It's time that we start the show.
Anyway, for our opening tangent, I would like to talk about dyeing silk.
Yes, please.
I want to dye. Wait, what?
I'm sorry, but I've also been dyeing fabric. Have you been dyeing fabric?
I've been dyeing fabric this week. Oh my God, look at us. Okay, you talk about yours because mine's a process. Mine's in process.
For reasons that I will explain to you off mic, don't worry, listeners, it's not interesting at all.
Lube stains.
No. I ended up going to a craft group, not a local one. I'll explain later.
Okay.
and I made some tie-dye fabric squares.
Fun.
It was really fun. It was really fun.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was really
craft
fun.
Craft groups are an underrated group activity.
I went to this craft group.
And there are like 100 in Cardiff.
And I was like, I want to do this
in my own life.
I want to do craft. But like, it was so low pressure. It was just like, let's just do some things to some fabric and see what happens. It's not even clothing. It's scrap fabric. Let's just see what happens. And we made some beautiful things. I'll show you before you leave.
Oh, exciting.
You have also been dyeing fabric.
Oh my God. I've been trying to dye fabric. So I went to the Catwell up, you know, could taste.
Yes, I do.
Obsessed with that place. I got some really great stuff.
Fenella's from Catwell.
Well, there we
go. They're a wonderful charity. Shout out to Catwell.
So I went up there and I was going to the soap shop that's at the top of, it's Wellfield Road, isn't it? No, it's Whitchurch Road. I was going to the soaps place that is forever closed down. I don't know why I thought they were back in business.
Oh, no.
And so I walked all the way up there and I was like, oh, it's closed. I'll go to the Ten of Us down the end. Mm. And so I popped into the Ten of Us, nothing I wanted. Boo. And then I was like, Catwell, this looks stupid. I'll go here. So I like pop in and I'm like, this is an incredible wonderland of places. So they're doing a £2 clothing sale.
Nice.
And they have like a huge stack of like fabrics. So I get like a red cotton velvet fabric that I'm going to use for my Christmas, whatever I end up making with
lovely.
It. Although it does have 100 moths in it, so I am currently dealing with a moth infestation.
Oh no!
So I need to like wash it, like properly wash it.
Yeah.
But I did get a yellow silk dress from Coast that I took apart and made into like an actual dress that fits me in my size. Although I'm not. I don't know. I'm kind of like the back. I kind of messed up the back and the waistband, so I'm gonna have to like retake it apart. Anyway, that was all like pre-show, and then I'm like waiting until I have the energy to like take it apart and fix it again. And then I got an LK Bennett dress, 100% silk. Ooh. Like it's like gorgeous. It's questionably gorgeous, but it's like a satin silk. Like simple dress underneath, and then it's got like a little capey thing over the top. Oh. But the color, so it has like a chrysanthemum print on it. The colors are care home curtains. Oh, it's God. Like a very light blue.
Yeah.
Some like a very light purple, and then like a teal kind of halfway in. What's the color that I'm thinking of? It's like a green, like a light green, like a
turquoise.
Light greeny blue. Yeah, turquoise in there. And I was like, okay, step one, I'm gonna dye this.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so I'm like, I'm gonna dye it blue.
Lovely.
I go to Wilco, I get some blue dye, and I'm like, which one should I do?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do this blue. I dyed it essentially the exact same color. So
well done.
Thank you. I'm going to go back to Wilco this afternoon and just get a black.
Yeah, good plan.
And just see if it'll
good plan.
Black. See if it'll go black. But it is incredibly like I need to kind of, it's a very small adjustment that I need to do because it has like the cape. I'm not showing you pictures because I want to be able to describe it to the listeners.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's like the outer chiffon is like, I would describe it as a style of dress that someone would pick up and go, oh, it'll hide your tummy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it has curtains on the front.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, we don't want this.
No.
We want a cape.
Yeah, lovely.
So I just have to take the front little chiffon curtains and put them at the back.
Yeah.
And then adjust the neckline because it's got a really weird neckline. But if the dye takes this afternoon, I will be wearing it tomorrow for dinner.
How exciting.
So.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Peek into our lives. Not
something
only are we
for you to enjoy
recording in real life today, but we're having dinner together tomorrow.
Fajita night, baby.
I'm very excited. An authentic Texan making me fajitas.
Oh, you're welcome. Look forward to being disappointed. Oh. We went to Oaxaca
Ooh.
For a family meal on Tuesday.
Thoughts?
Everyone was disappointed. Truly, my mother picked it and was like, they don't have anything on this menu.
I think their menu has gotten like a lot smaller probably since COVID.
Yeah,
because I looked at it recently and I
that
was
would make
like,
a lot of sense.
Oh, there's like none of the things that I liked. Because I went there a couple of times. I think I may have even gone there for my post-graduation lunch just because it was sort of like, where are we going to go that is air conditioned?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, they didn't have any of the things that I remembered enjoying there before when I looked at the menu recently.
Yeah, that would make sense because we went there as a family like years ago and it was like, okay.
I remember having Nopales tacos there, which I was like, that's cactus.
Off the menu now.
Yeah. Sorry, I interpreted your face as you not knowing what that was. And then I was like, why didn't I just say cactus? Like
cactus.
Most people are not going to know what that is.
No, they have
And I probably mispronounced it.
They didn't even have chimichangas. My father was very disappointed.
Yeah. No, it sounds like their menu has got really small. I feel like a lot of places have re-expanded their menus since COVID.
Yeah.
But it sounds like maybe they haven't.
This was just like, you want beef or chicken?
Oh, boo. There's enough of that sort of place. Like,
you want
what?
Fake beef or fake chicken?
They're going to go out of business. Like that was what was distinctive about them was that they weren't that kind of place. They're not what's it called? Los Amigos? Is that what it's called?
Las Iguanas. Los Amigos. Somebody died.
Yeah. Tuvok gets them out of the nebula, and Seven diagnoses a random engineering officer as dead.
Dead.
They can't get around the nebula, but Janeway will be damned if they'll be stopped by a nebula. So Janeway talks to the doctor, and he recommends that everyone goes into stasis for the duration of traversing the nebula. The doctor says he can pilot the ship and look after everyone, but Janeway says he needs backup.
I do miss being a student, because I was so central.
Oh, it was amazing, wasn't it? To be fair, we are both still pretty central, but
we're not young anymore.
Catayes is
nothing's new anymore.
Everything is so close to Catayes.
Oh, I used to wear heels every day.
Yeah.
Everything was a 10-minute walk away.
Remember that time I went to your house for dinner and then I insisted on sleeping over because I was wearing heels? I'm sorry about that, but thank you.
To be fair, it was very far. You do bring this up a lot.
I do, because I am embarrassed by it in retrospect. Because I think I had like one drink and then I was like, I'm too drunk to walk home in heels. And no other alternatives presented themselves to me.
It was like far away. Was this when you were on off Albany Road?
Yeah, so it was far, to be fair.
Far.
And it was also, there was another reason. It was Easter, and as a result, it was like very quiet, and that
spooky.
Another one of your guests at that dinner was received some verbal harassment on their way to the party, and
really?
So
did they tell us?
Yes, yeah.
Was I paying attention?
I mean, you were probably cooking, to be fair.
There we go.
Anyway, so yeah, I think
And that's where you met your husband.
No, it's not.
At my party.
He didn't show up to that party. Because he had just broken up with one of the other guests.
We've definitely talked about this on the podcast. Anyway, we have to keep going.
Right.
Astrometrics. Janeway gives a little speech, and there's a little reprise of the theme tune in the orchestra, in the underscoring.
Well spotted. Janeway's worried that Seven will struggle with loneliness because both humans and Borg drones struggle with isolation.
Sad.
Seven says she will adapt, but after Janeway leaves, she does look nervous. So Janeway meets with the senior staff, and so they're discussing it's going to be at least a month. She assures...
Oh, sorry, I had a question.
Oh, yes, please.
So Janeway asks Seven in Cargo Bay 2 or whatever, and she's like, 150 people? Well, it's 149 now.
Yeah.
And she's like, you will follow the doctor's orders. When I'm asleep, he's in charge.
Yeah.
As an only child, who was in charge when your parents left the house?
Oh, that's... an interesting question. I guess I was.
The cat, the dog, Scarlet.
I'm going to get a jug of water while I think about that.
Wow. Why?
Because you're out of water.
I'm struggling this year with a little bit of hay fever. Dear sweet readers, listeners, friends. Cat's going to get some... Should I sit quietly? No. None of this is particularly... Oh, wow. That was cool. I thought you were going to have to fill up some water.
This is in the fridge, so I just...
A nice cool glass of water.
Just ASMR.
Spilling. Spills. We're doing a great job.
We're doing a very professional podcast.
Remember when
recording.
Somebody was like, it's a great podcast if you don't mind them absolutely never talking about Star Trek.
Oh god, we talk about Star Trek sometimes.
Sure. Wait, who was in charge when
I don't think I was left alone very much because my grandparents lived nearby, so I was I spent a lot of time. And by the time I was being left alone,
you were like old enough.
Yeah, I was old enough that
it was like not answer the door to a stranger.
Yeah, it's just like,
do you ever answer the door to a stranger now?
No. I mean, if it's daytime, I do just answer the door because I assume it's a parcel.
Are people knocking at night?
Well, this is the thing. Sometimes, not so much here, but like, I think this is where I run afoul of this, though. Amazon delivers super late. I don't get deliveries from Amazon, but like, I think this wasn't not, sorry, not where I live now, but where I was living until we moved. Because my upstairs neighbor would get a lot of stuff from Amazon. But if somebody rang the bell at night, I was just like, I'm not getting that. I don't want to get that because...
Nice try.
Yeah. But then I was like, oh God, Amazon is out delivering at like 9 p.m. sometimes on like a Sunday as well, which I just would never have thought that there was any legitimate reason to be knocking on my door at that time.
Absolutely no. Yeah. But then you're like, you have to, like, that poor man.
Well, exactly. It's like, yeah, I just like... Yeah, then I feel bad because I'm like, oh, that like fucks everything up for them. Yeah. If I can't leave the package. But
we're always on the side of the worker in women talking about Star Trek Voyagers, actually.
Well, what is a Meredith if not an unappreciated worker? Yes, no, but here I haven't been getting like random late at night knocks that may or may not be Amazon. So that's good. Although I did the other day, I think some children tried to ding-dong ditch me.
And you came out in your witch's hat and a full,
it was like,
full face of makeup.
I just heard the sounds of, like, footsteps running, and then I heard an extremely tentative knock on the door, and then I heard the footsteps run away, and I was just like, ooh. I don't think I'm going to get up for that.
No, it was one of our friends.
Maybe
you
it was.
Gay running.
No, it was the middle of the day as well, so I was just like, that was too tentative a knock. If you really need me, you'll knock louder again.
Yeah, that's why I don't have a doorbell. I'm like, you have to want it.
You have to want it.
To get into my home, you either need my phone number or you really have to want it.
Right. Yeah, so Milana is like, I've never been in stasis. Are there any side effects? And then they're like, no, it'll be fine. But after everyone leaves, they're not happy. Nobody's happy. But everybody is like, all right, I guess this is what's happening. But then Chakotay stays behind.
Like our lives.
Yeah.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Are you happy?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I was in a really weirdly good mood last week. I don't know why.
You're looking forward to your show, maybe.
Yeah, why not? And I was like skipping to the allotment. It was very strange. I don't know what was going on with me. It was like weirdly chipper. I got into Waterloo Gardens and I did like a twirl.
Oh.
I was like, it's a beautiful day.
You're just filled with the joy of, I was gonna say spring. It's summer, isn't it?
Yeah, why not?
Well, the solstice is next week.
So. Oh, what are you doing to celebrate?
I'm going to camp in a Llyfrgell. I'm going to camp in the library.
Okay, I thought you were going to literally camping.
No, I'm going to an event called Camp in the Library.
We need to stay on topic. I need to stop asking you questions.
Let me promote this event. It's on Tuesday, the 21st of June at the Golden Cross. If you're in Cardiff, you should go. It was great last time. Right. Right, so Chakotay's worried about leaving Seven in charge. But
Janeway's like, it'll be fine.
It's instinct. I'm sure she's going to be fine.
She's like, I have every confidence in you.
Yeah.
Which is definitely what you say to someone who you have confidence in.
Yeah. I have every confidence in you. I know you won't let me down.
How do they have 149 stasis pods just lying around?
Yeah.
They're very
big. That's a
good
point.
Where are they are keeping big. All of these stasis pods?
Maybe they had to build them. Maybe they replicated the parts for them.
I don't know. Maybe they have enough stasis pods for everyone in the crew, just in case.
Actually, maybe they do.
Maybe that's what's in the bulkheads. You ever thought about that? It's a big ship.
No, you make a good point, actually. I bet that they do, because, yeah, I can see that being... It's a big ship. It's a big ship. Although, yeah, it would be sort of surprising if they did, because it wasn't intended for long-distance journeys, but... But I don't
know. What was it intended for?
It's like a warship, isn't it? Like, am I misremembering?
I thought you meant the stasis pods are not intended for long distance journeys.
No, I'm sorry. Like, that seems like exactly what they're intended for. Well, they're only for skipping around the block, you know. Go to sleep for a few hours. No. Yeah,
You really can't sleep, that's when you do a stasis pod.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love a stasis pod. Just like set it for 7 hours. Done.
We all would. Anyway, everyone's in their thing. And then Seven gives her opening monologue. And she's like, we're 10 days in.
Well, you missed this. I've got to ask you a question. So, because Tom is really not happy about getting in the stasis pod. And the doctor is like, you're claustrophobic. Are you claustrophobic?
No. I think because they have a little window.
Yeah, I don't think I would mind getting in the stasis
pod. Like a little window and you can see your friends.
Yeah, I think, and also you're just going to immediately go to sleep, but some people really don't like it. Mm. How are you with heights?
Oh, I do not like heights.
I know that there are people out there who don't like both things, but I do feel like most people, it's one or the other. Yeah, yeah. Jinx.
Wow, now I have to be quiet for the rest of the podcast.
No, you just owe me a Coke.
Oh, now I have to buy some cocaine.
Yeah, I feel like it's usually one or the other. I don't mind heights, but I don't like confined spaces very much. Oh dear, it's probably some sort of human brain thing, isn't it? Like you need people in the village who can deal with heights and people who can deal with closed-in spaces. Right? I don't know.
When would you be in a closed-in space?
I don't know. You go in a cave or something.
Ooh, who knows? Anyway, Seven is 10 days in. She's lonely and sad. She's in her darkened mess hall.
But she has an efficient daily routine, she says.
It's very sad. The ship essentially just runs itself. I don't know why there were so many people on board.
No, I don't know.
Like, it seems like too many people. Tom Paris does try and escape his little pod, and Seven finds him passed out in the hallway, not burned on fire or whatever.
I think we're meant to take from it that this has just happened. Before she came around the corner, he just, like, lurched out of the room and fell asleep. Like,
yeah, why not?
I will accept that, even though you make a good point.
Yeah, why not? Why not? The doctor's like, you're getting a real toot. You gotta go to the holodeck.
Yeah. A brush-up course in how to get along with people is what he says.
It's Seven's party, and she'll work if she wants to.
So we were talking about this at the beginning. I hate the doctor's behavior here. So we're at a party with the crew. That's the holoprogram. And Neelix is like badgering Seven about joining the party because she's working. But she asks Neelix to help her with her work. And then she asks Janeway to come over and help. And the three of them are like
having a nice time.
Talking about work, working through a problem. And the doctor gets mad at her because she's not using the holoprogram correctly. And I hate it. He is an asshole.
Wild.
Let her play her own way.
Yeah.
You're so right. It is like,
say, she brought her Lego.
Yeah, it is like you're so right. That's a perfect analogy, actually. It's like with children. It's just like, okay, you like Legos. Play Legos with the other children. There you go. Easy as that. Oh gosh. I've written, he just wants her to talk to people, so why not let her talk the way she wants to? But he says to her, you're being intentionally perverse. Just like, my God, okay.
There's a big boom, and there's an antimatter storage tank that's failing. A cascade effect. And they all, like, panic, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. And it turns out to be a false alarm. Mm-hmm. And the gel packs are malfunctioning. Mm. These gel packs, which we've come to know so well.
Yes.
They're actually the fifth Sex in the City, you know?
They're the fifth Sex in
the
City.
They're the New York of...
They're the real main character.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The doctor amusingly points out at this stage that the Jeffries tubes don't make sense.
No, yeah.
That's very funny.
He's like,
why didn't they build these tall enough that you could stand upright?
He's got a point.
Seven says, well, they did not.
They did not. Why aren't they?
Yeah, it's a good question.
But also, like, why are there Jeffries tubes? Why aren't they just hallways?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
It's not tidier.
No. No. I guess the idea is that because they're for things that you don't need regular access to, they can be. I mean, I guess we do that in normal earth buildings, but who knows?
Who cares? Anyway, the pair do science, and the doctor, like glitches, and then he panics.
Yeah.
And then he panics, and they run to sick bay. This episode is the best pair to have a bottle episode with.
Oh, agreed.
Like,
agreed. They had a wonderful conversation in the previous scene. After he tells her, sorry to go back, but after he tells her that she's being intentionally perverse, he says, "What you need is some editorial skill in your self-expression. Between impulse and action, there is a realm of good taste begging for your acquaintance." Which is an amazing line. And then she says, "I find your self-expression ponderous." Which is just like really good dialogue. It's really good dialogue.
They know the big words.
Yeah, they do. But they're you're absolutely right. They are the best pair for a bottle episode. It's fun.
But the doctor is going to get stuck in sick bay because he doesn't want to use his mobile emitter in case he gets stuck. And then Seven is going to be alone. And she dreams of snow.
She dreams of snow.
What do you dream of?
I dream of snow.
You dream of snow?
You see, what did I dream of last night?
Oh.
I think I was on a boat. Anyway. Oh. What do you dream of?
It's the 29th day. Seven can't hack it. The ship is not doing well. She keeps having to correct the ship's trajectory. Like,
yeah, why is that?
What's going on? Mm. What's going on, Meredith? In astrometric, she's got 6 days left. This is a very dramatically directed episode. It's very dramatic. And then a vessel comes to play, and Seven, for some reason, answers the door to a stranger.
Yeah.
I mean, she was never a child, so, like...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
It makes a lot of sense, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But she'd be like, "Yes, I will bring this stranger aboard."
You make a good point.
Anyway, this hot slut comes on to the cargo bay, and he's like, "I've tried to get around this nebula 5 times. Babe, it only takes a year to go around it. How many times, like..."
Oh, yeah.
"Just go around."
Yeah.
"What's wrong?"
Well, he's trying to set a world record. That's what he's doing.
Which world?
His world.
Who cares? Anyway, this man is either going to fuck her or fight her. And then Seven is like, "Get off my ship.
You will not be accommodated."
And then Tom calls for Seven, and the guy runs away. Why are they going so slowly through this fucking nebula?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're really, like, impulse powering through this nebula.
They probably gave us a reason for that.
Who cares? Anyway.
Not us, apparently.
They go to sick bay, and Seven discusses this with the doctor. And the doctor's like, "Are you frightened?" And she goes, "I am Borg." Seven is all jumpy. She's hearing Janeway whispering. You're meant to be doing this. What makes you jumpy? Suspicious noises at night?
Oh, yes. Well, less so now that I have a cat, because suspicious noises at night are usually the cat. But, yeah, suspicious noises. Then the cat also is made jumpy by suspicious noises. Oh, so it's a funny cycle sometimes. Noise. Oh, like a banging or a
suspicious noise, whatever it is. Snakey's tail or whatever. It's a vicious cycle of suspicious noises.
Got it. Okay, got it. What makes you jumpy?
A text from a boy. What makes me jumpy? Too much coffee in the morning.
Oh, am I right? Am I right, ladies?
Ladies.
Yes. Where are we? Sorry?
Maybe the ship shouldn't be so dark. It's too spooky.
The ship is dark. The ship is spooky.
Darth, or whatever his name is, starts bullying her over the intercom.
Yeah.
He's like, "Seven, what if I blew up the ship from the inside?"
Yeah.
She goes to engineering and she sees Harry and Tom burst into flames.
Yes.
And Tragus is his name. Oh. And she, like, traps him in the bridge. And yeah. Then the doctor comes to engineering because he's out and about again. Mm-hmm. And Seven is like, Tragus, he's here. He's going to kill us or whatever. And then the doctor comes in and he's like, there's no one there, babe. Yes. You're all alone.
Seven has been hallucinating.
She got space madness.
She's got space madness.
Which is what happened to all the gel packs. The radiation is frying her brain.
Yes. Yeah, he's realized that the gel packs and Seven's Borg implants are degrading in a way that is causing her to hallucinate. Which is interesting because prolonged isolation can cause hallucinations. This is an example of Star Trek using something science fiction-y as a metaphor for what is happening, which is confusing because it could just be the isolation. But
it could
see, what, am I making sense? Like, yes. It's kind of a funny thing. And I think it feels familiar to me. I think they do this sometimes where it's like, they're using something science fiction.
They love being like, there's a reason for this, and it's science.
It's like, it's a metaphor for loneliness, but what's happening is something that can happen if you're very lonely.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's funny. The EPS conduits are malfunctioning now, and the doctor tied himself into them, so he blinks out of existence, but I guess not in a way that threatens his program permanently the way that it did last time.
Who knows?
So now he's gone, and Seven is afraid.
And she's in astrometric, she is 17 hours, and the ghost of Harry Kim is haunting her.
Yeah.
And the hallways are green now, and she's seeing Borg. She's learning the value of she's learning a valuable lesson about individuality and teamwork.
She is.
You will die alone. Will you die alone?
Probably.
Why is this Borg like this?
Yeah, this Borg is like real mad at Seven.
But also like slow.
Yeah. I mean,
I've never known a Borg to talk so much.
Well, it's part of Seven's mind, isn't it?
Anyway, Tragus is in the turbo lift trying to fuck her or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, bridge. And then it opens to like a Borg thing and he's like, step through. It's like, where did the turbo lift take her?
Yeah, I'm very interested to know where she actually was.
And then like they close again and she says bridge. Like, it didn't take her to the bridge?
No, it probably didn't open. It probably hadn't opened yet.
So she was just gonna like, if she walked, she would
just walk into the door. Yeah, that's my guess. That's my guess.
Stupid. Seven's not doing well this episode.
She's not.
Why? She's got space madness.
She's struggling.
On the bridge, the whole crew is there being catty.
And there's 41 minutes left.
Oh, much like this episode. She's doing her best. And then like the ship's engines start failing. Why are they not moving? They're in space.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is the nebula dense? Is it a particularly dense, soupy nebula?
Maybe.
But she's like, I'm going to cut some stasis pod units so that we can push our way out of here because we got 10 minutes left. And then she runs down to cargo bay and she's like, okay, put the stasis unit back on and cut life support. And then she's like doing a final little monologue, but she does sound a lot like Jessica Lange as Joan Crawford. And she's like, I am 7 of 9.
I don't want to be. Oh, you have to open it.
Oh, I've made the mess.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
How does this?
It just slides back.
Oh. My God, that was.
Do you need to pee?
What was I gonna say? This doesn't really make sense because does she have life support on in the whole ship? Why doesn't she just put herself in a broom cupboard and turn off? They do this in other episodes. Just shut down life support everywhere but the broom cupboard. That would be so much power.
It's also like, she had 11 minutes. How long would an entire ship take to lose?
Yeah, life support. Oxygen. Yeah, heat. Like, get in the middle of the ship in a closet. You'll be fine for 11 minutes, probably.
Yeah, dramatic.
Yeah, it's very dramatic.
Yeah, she's got space madness.
Yeah, she's got space
madness. She hasn't been thinking clearly for an entire month.
To be fair, we don't know how much of what's happening is actually what's happening. It sounds like she did turn off life support, but we don't know if, like, the stasis pod stuff actually happened. We're not sure what happened. So, yeah, she may have turned off life support and she didn't need to, or she wasn't doing well.
But she wakes up in sick bay.
Yay.
And the gang is all there, and the doctor says he's proud, and Seven is Glad she was able to help.
Yeah.
And then she goes to the mess hall where the gang is talking about soup.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I was like, what?
I was waiting for you to go, soup.
The gang is all talking about soup. Neelix has made soup. And they're like, this soup is actually good for once. Do you want some soup, Seven? And she's like, I don't want any soup. Yeah, they're talking about soup. And Seven approaches. It's Bellana, Tom, and
soup,
Harry.
Soup. It's a Nebula episode and a soup episode. Like, this is we've hit all the quadrants.
This is the trifecta.
Of a Star Trek Voyager episode. Yes. This has everything.
It has everything.
An alien with, like, weird face things.
Yeah.
Janeway in a fun, not work-related outfit.
Yes, in the party hall.
Seven getting space madness. Soup. A nebula that I fly into. This has everything. This may be the episode that everyone should have to watch to understand what Star Trek Voyager is.
I agree with that. Because it's
a
also
brief Neelix moment where you're like, ugh, Neelix.
This guy. It's a good episode. And you're right, it does have all of the best things.
Unnecessary drama.
Yeah.
Space madness.
So Seven says she does not require sustenance, but she felt the need for companionship.
Mm.
And then she bonds with them by making fun of Tom, which I do sort of enjoy. It's realistic.
So yeah.
He says something about not wanting to...
being confined.
Yeah. And she says, oh, well, you kept escaping your stasis unit, and everyone makes fun of him. But in a nice way. He doesn't seem like he's being hurt by this. I liked that. I thought that was good. They tease him about his difficulty with confined spaces, and then Seven says, perhaps you dislike being alone.
But she says it very seriously. She's like, perhaps you disliked being alone.
Yes, it was very dramatic. And that's the end of the episode.
Yay!
Should we do some segments?
Yes, let's do some segments. Ready?
Wigs.
We have to talk about Janeway's red crush velvet.
Beautiful.
Asymmetric neckline.
Stunning.
Ah.
Incredible.
I like it when she gets to dress like a...
Yeah.
Not the captain.
I'm a big fan.
When she's out of the jumpsuits and into...
She is in red, though, again, which is interesting. Command color. There was an alien... He had face things.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything to say about that,
though. There was a Borg and an alien.
Borg, yeah. There's
a lot
true.
Of... They really put them through their paces in hair and makeup.
They did, yeah. And lots of special effects makeup in this as well. Yeah, lots of burn victims.
Lots of burns.
You have anything else for wigs?
No, that's it.
Stay out of a nebula.
Nebula.
What was the nebula this episode? It's a goddamn Nebula episode, but also we have some other contenders for Nebula of the Week.
Soup.
The human need for connection. Also soup again.
Good soup.
Good soup. Let's say soup.
Soup
is the Nebula.
Soup is the Nebula.
Because it's too obvious to say that the Nebula that they're in for the whole episode is the Nebula.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think we are? Amateurs?
What would you rate this episode, Sam?
I would rate this episode 7 out of 10, 7 of 9s.
I'm going to give this episode a rare 4.75 out of 5 stasis chambers.
We're such goofy girls.
I think it's a great episode. This is my one and perhaps only goofy rating, though. 4.75 out of 5. That's what you're getting.
Wow.
I love this episode. I really do. I think it's really good.
Incredible.
I think it's really good.
Well, that's the end of our tenure here.
Do you have anything to plug?
You can watch the Sam Hickman Variety Hour, my bits from the last Sam Hickman Variety Hour on YouTube. You just type in Sam Hickman Variety Hour 2 and there's a playlist of all of my bits and pieces.
And you should watch it because it was
goofy
fantastic.
Fun.
It was so good. I can't recommend it enough. Go and watch that.
Do you have anything to plug, Kat?
No.
But
in our next episode, there will be an exciting special announcement.
Oh my goodness.
So look forward to that.
You're pregnant.
No, I'm not pregnant.
With a space baby.
I'm pregnant with a space baby. Well, you spoiled the surprise.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can cut it out. I mean, you're editing, so it's fine.
right. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at WTASTV, at Watastava. And rate us 5 stars on whatever exists now in lieu of iTunes. Don't rate us less than 5 stars.
Yeah, don't rate us 7 of 9 stars.
Keep your views to yourself. Don't rate us 4.75 out of 5 stars.
Wow.
And we'll see you next time.
On the flippy floppy.
On the flippity floppy.
We'll see the other side of the nebula.
We'll see.
Oh, wait. Do we want to do this one? I've been Sam Hickman.
I've been Kat Deerfield.
And this was Women talking about Star Trek Voyager.
In person.
I know. Look at us go. Did we want to do in person last time? I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway. Goodbye, everybody. We love you, Meredith.
They say in space no one can hear you scream. The Starfleet's one hell of a place. But now we've come to the end of our show. Did you survive or will you die in disgrace?